Brothers and sisters here at the Central Congregation, it's time to begin our evening worship service here. And starting off, we're going to sing number 414, 415, then 416, just kind of rapid progression there. And then we'll be led in opening prayer. Let's sing together. Step I take,
my Savior goes before me, and with his loving hand, he leads the way. And with each breath, my visitor, I adore thee. Oh, what joy to all.
Sweet.
Lord, have we heard thee calling, come follow me.
will now be led in our opening prayer.
Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we come before you just now. Thank you for this opportunity to be here. Thank you for the provisions that you've made for this place. Inside and comfortable, dear God, where we can come and consider a section of your word, hear another gospel message, dear God. Be lifted up and be prepared to greet the challenges that this week will bring. We lift up those who are suffering the loss of loved ones. We pray for them and their families. Pray, dear God, for blessings in special ways. We pray, dear God, for those that are sick. Help us to not be neglectful in our prayers for the many that are listed as being sick. We pray, dear God, for the many ministries that are being undertaken here. We pray they'd be completed in a manner that is well-pleasing unto you, and that it would be work that you could bless and that you would bless, so that much would be done for the church, for the kingdom. We ask your blessings upon the speaker this evening. Pray you'd have a ready recollection of the things that he's prepared, and that good seed would fall on good and honest hearts. This prayer we offer in Christ's name. Amen.
For our scripture reading and lesson, we'll sing number 417. Number 417, we'll sing the first and last verse of that song. If you're following along in your song books and want to mark the song of invitation, that'll be number 912 for after the lesson. For the lesson, number 417. If it's convenient, please stand as we sing.
There is Bible story time tonight, so if you have a child that is of the age for Bible story time, now would be a good time to dismiss for Bible story time. Our scripture reading this evening comes from the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For the length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones.
As I was walking over this evening, I thought, we could do outdoor worship tonight. It's coming, and I'm ready for it. How about you all? Well, we're glad you're with us tonight. Got a good number with us tonight, and a good number, I'm sure, online as well. And we're always glad to have all of you with us online. And all of you watching at prison, we hear from several of you regularly that you are watching. And it's not live, of course, for you, but we are glad that you're tuning in and listening and learning from God's Word. But I hope you have a good week this week. It's been a good start to the week today. And so I hope you've got your Bible with you, and let's get into it right now. Let's learn from God's Word. I'll tell you about a fella, and you may have heard this story a while back. Doug White is his name, and his wife Terry. They were leaving Naples, Florida, with their two teenage daughters. This was back in about 2009 or so, and they were on a charter jet, and not long after the plane took off, the pilot kind of slumped and lost consciousness. He would go on to die once help was finally available. But Doug immediately knew it's just us on the plane with the pilot, and I've had some experience flying small aircraft, but nothing like this. And so he got on the intercom, the radio, and he was able to contact people at the flight tower, and they proceeded to give him step-by-step guidance of how to get that jet plane back safely on the ground. In fact, that couple at the time, and I suspect they still are members of the Forsyth Church of Christ in Monroe, Louisiana, and that has been made into a movie, and there it is. It's called On a Wing and a Prayer. It came out a couple of years ago. I've not seen the movie, but what an inspirational story that is. And as we recall, he did have some experience, but he didn't know how to fly this plane. And so what do you do? Well, he did the smart thing, the right thing, and he sought guidance from somebody that knew how to fly that plane. We heard a few moments ago in Proverbs 3, verse 5, Josh read this, and it's a very familiar verse. It's become a favorite verse for many of us, where the writer says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding." Don't lean on your own understanding. The question that may arise with some is, what's wrong with my understanding? I know life. I've lived it for a while. I'm getting along pretty well. What's wrong with my understanding, Lord? Because God doesn't make any conditions. He doesn't say, you who are younger than a certain age, or you who live in a certain part of the world. It's universal. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. And so the question is, what's wrong with my understanding? And again, I'm asking this for all of us, not just me. I know you know I have trouble with my understanding, but all of us do. And the Bible's going to show that to us as we get into this. So let's begin by looking at three reasons in God's Word why human understanding is inadequate. And again, I think we could add to this list. This is not exhaustive by any means, but these are three very universal kinds of reasons that can be understood by anybody, I think. First of all, our understanding is inadequate because it is incomplete. We just don't have all of the understanding that we need to make this journey to eternity successfully, like Doug White. He didn't have the understanding to fly that jet plane and to land it safely on the ground, and so he turned to people who could advise him, and he was open to that, of course. Well, the Bible tells us that we don't have that kind of understanding to guide our lives all the way to eternity successfully. We'll get to eternity, all of us will, but making that journey successfully No, we don't have it. One of the best known passages for that is Jeremiah 10, verse 23. It says it very succinctly. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, where the prophet said, "I know, O Lord, that the way of man is not in himself, that it is not in man who walks to direct his steps." Yes, we are walking. We're making progress, moving along. But are we getting closer to our desired destination? And Jeremiah says, "No, Lord, we know that. We are going to admit we don't have it within us." And the implication there, of course, is we need your guidance. If you go back a few chapters in Jeremiah to chapter 6 and verse 16, Jeremiah says, God has made the provision for us. He has marked the path very well for us. And he challenges the people of his day. And yet this shows again the way people are. Jeremiah 6 and verse 16. "Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look, and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is, and walk in it and find rest for your souls. It's there. Ask for it." But they said, "We will not walk in it." And isn't that like human beings? Isn't that like us? Pride stiffens up and says, "Well, we can do this by ourselves. We don't need to ask for any help." And so they refused the help that God was offering them. They were there in that land because God led them there generations back. And God tried over and over again to help them see, you need to do these things to stay in your land. And yet they refused time and again and were very soon to be carried away from that land. So one reason my understanding is not good, it's not sufficient, is because it's just incomplete. I don't have all the information that I need to get to where I want to go. A second reason we can find in the Word of God is that our understanding is sometimes driven by emotion. Have you ever noticed this? Our understanding is sometimes driven by emotion. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 25 and verse 33. 1 Samuel chapter 25, we're going to read verse 33, but let me tell you what's happening as you're turning there. David and his men, they are kind of on the run at this point in his life from King Saul. Several have come out to join him. They're renegades, you might say. They are trying to survive. And they're making raids on Israel's enemies in order to get supplies, to have enough to eat and have what they need. But while they're away on one of these raids, the Amalekites come and raid Israel's camp. And when they get back to the camp, there's nothing there. It's all been burned, pillaged. The women and the children have been taken. And everybody just breaks down in agony. They're weeping. They're shrieking. You know, what have we done? We've left our families unprotected. Now they're gone. And they begin talking about stoning David. And so you might imagine David is highly charged with emotion. I'm sorry. I'm going to the wrong place. I'm looking at the wrong incident here, am I not? Yeah, I'm looking at the wrong one. Sorry about that. This is when Nabal has turned down David's offer, his request for some goods. And so Nabal says, "No, I don't even know that guy, David." And he treats the men that David sent very rudely. David said, "Get on your horses. We're going to run over there. We're going to kill Nabal and all the men in his house." That was a very rash decision based on pride and anger. And yet, you know what happened next. Abigail, Nabal's wife, hears what is happening. She loads up several donkeys with provisions. She rushes out to meet David before he gets to their place. And she says, "Please, don't do what you're thinking about doing. I would not have allowed this to happen if I had known." Here's David's response in 1 Samuel 25, verse 33. "Blessed be your discretion, and blessed be you who have kept me this day from blood guilt and from working salvation with my own hand." Now, that's interesting how David chose those words. He said, "You kept me from working salvation with my own hand." David knows better than that. David knows that God is his strength. And yet on this occasion, his anger, his pride overcame him. And he said, "Let's go. We're going to wreak havoc. We're going to, you know, get revenge on Nabal and his family." And yet now he's saying, you kept me from blood guilt. I would have been guilty of something really bad if you had not intercepted me. And so on that occasion, his anger was driving him, and it would have driven him badly had it not been for Abigail. James talks about this tendency in James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, where he gives this advice. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. The anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And there he's simply saying, if you allow your emotions to drive you, you may end up at a place you wish you had not been. And that's the way we are. Emotions often drive us. It may be the emotion of anger or hatred. It may be disappointment. It may be bitterness. It may be sadness. It could be a lot of things. But sometimes we just don't stop and think, what is the way I should go? And then here's a third reason why human understanding is inadequate, and that is my understanding is often influenced by evil. My understanding is often influenced by evil. You ever heard that word influencer? It's become a thing, hasn't it? And the photo you're going to see here on the there, some of you may recognize, this is Jimmy Donaldson, although you may not know him by that name. This is Mr. Beast. And in an article on Forbes.com that was updated just a couple of weeks ago, it says he is the top influencer in terms of followers and money that he has made in that position. He does outlandish stunts, among other things, I guess. I don't know. I've never watched him. But he has over 500 million followers, over 500 million followers, and he has made more than $85 million in all of these crazy things that he does. He's an influencer. And there's lots of other influencers, and their job, at least in their minds, is, I want to influence you. I want to influence you to buy this product or to go to this place or whatever it may be. And yet we ought to ask, can I trust this person? Why are they doing this? Is it out of the goodness of their heart, or is it because of the followers they get and the money they make in the process? Well, there's one that we know what his motives are. Go back to the very beginning of mankind on earth, chapter 3, Genesis chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. Eve has been told by God, through Adam at least, you know, there's everything. Everything we have here is ours except that one tree in the middle of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And yet here comes Satan. And Satan says, has God really told you you can't eat of the trees of the garden? And she said, well, we can eat of all of them, but this one. And we can't eat of this because we'll die. Satan, in Genesis 3, verses 4 and 5, the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Satan was shading God. Satan was saying, don't you know God is protecting himself? He knows that you would benefit by eating this fruit, if only you would, so why don't you just go ahead and do it? He was lying, because they began dying the moment they transgressed God's will. They didn't drop over dead that moment, no, but the clock was ticking, as it has been for all of us since the moment we were conceived. The clock is ticking. And Jesus tells more about Satan in John 8, verse 44. John 8, verse 44, where he said, you are of your father, the devil. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Does he ever influence us? Absolutely. Satan is an influencer. And his influencer is one reason, again, why we are not adequate to make all the decisions that we need to make in life, why we need to not trust in our own understanding. So let's look now that we understand from the Bible why our understanding is inadequate. let's say what the alternative is. And again, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's the alternative. Why should we trust the Lord? Let me begin with a tale of two kings. Give you two kings. One was not a king at the time, but the other one was. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 8. 1 Samuel 30 and verse 8. And this is the incident I was setting up for you earlier, so just run that through your mind again. Okay. They've been out raiding, and now they come back. The camp is burnt. The wives and children are gone. The men are talking about, you know, killing David, stoning him. Look what you've done to us. You left our families defenseless. Now we have nothing. And so what does David do? Well, he could jump on his horse and start pursuing the Amalekites or whoever took their families. But listen to what it says in this passage, 1 Samuel 30 and verse 8. It says there, David inquired of the Lord. David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue after this band? Shall I overtake them? And you might say, well, yeah, of course. That's the obvious thing, David. Go ahead and do it. Don't waste time inquiring of the Lord. He called for the ephod to be brought. He used the high priest that was there. And yet, he does that. And then this answer comes. The Lord answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake and shall surely rescue. So God is saying, I will guarantee you success. And although it doesn't say it right there, I feel confident part of the reason for that, maybe the biggest part of the reason, is that David took time to inquire of the Lord. This is not the only time you find David doing this. In fact, there's at least four or five other times where it specifically says David inquired of the Lord before launching out into whatever it was he was doing. But contrast that with the king who was the king at that time, and that, of course, was King Saul. And look at 1 Chronicles chapter 10, verses 13 and 14, the first part of verse 14. And this is kind of a post-mortem on King Saul. He has now died, but listen to how his life is summed up. It says, so Saul died for his breach of faith. He broke faith with the Lord in that he did not keep the command of the Lord and also consulted a medium seeking guidance. I mean, imagine that. He does what God had commanded Israel to never do, go seek counsel from a medium. And then it says in verse 14, he did not seek guidance from the Lord. So why was it that Saul never had a dynasty? His kingship ended when he died. There was no son that would take his place. And yet David is the one that is on the throne through generations. I think you can sum it up by saying David inquired of the Lord. That was his regular practice. There were a couple of times we know of that he went astray and did terrible wrong. But most of the time, his habit was to inquire of the Lord. And that tells us, we need to trust in the Lord. We need to put our trust for understanding in the Lord. In Job chapter 39, verse 26, Job 39, verse 26, Job throughout the book of Job has been asking, you know, why doesn't God let me have an interview with him? Why doesn't he need to come down and let me talk to him about what's going on in my life? I could show him some things that he's apparently not aware of. Well, God does appear. God doesn't respond to Job's questions, but instead gives Job questions to consider. And this is one of them. Think about what he says here in Job 39, verse 26. Job, is it by your understanding that the hawk soars and spreads his wings toward the south? In other words, how does the hawk have that ability to fly? And then in due time to go south or to return back up north, you know, did you give it that understanding? Did it come out of your head? And the obvious answer is no. I wouldn't know how that happens, Lord. We still don't know. And God's point was, I know. You can trust me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. We also see in 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 12. 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 12, David now is toward the end of his reign over Israel. He's handing the scepter, so to speak, to his son Solomon. And this is one bit of advice he gives his son Solomon. 1 Chronicles 22 and verse 12, "Only may the Lord grant you discretion and understanding. I'm praying that the Lord will give you understanding that when he gives you charge over Israel, you may keep the law of the Lord your God." Now, keeping the law of God is everything, especially if you're king over Israel. And we know that Solomon started out well, but later in his life it didn't go so well. But here David is saying, if you have understanding, if you have the understanding that comes from the Lord, you're going to see that obedience is paramount. It is most important. And that's something a good father will tell their children regularly, as well as good mothers. Proverbs 9 and verse 10. Proverbs 9 and verse 10, the wise man says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight." And in the Hebrew, that word for insight is the same word that is translated normally as understanding. So knowledge of the Lord is insight. The more I come to the Lord and open myself to his instruction, the more I'm going to have that understanding. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. What does that mean? It means I come to God regularly. I say, "Lord, teach me. Show me the ways of life. Show me what is right, what is wrong. I don't understand that on my own. I need your guidance and your understanding." And then in James chapter 1 and verse 5, James tells us there may be times we're up against a question, we don't know what to do. What do you do? "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him." So he's saying that God will give us wisdom if we come to him. And it's a humble heart that comes to him. It is one that is already familiar with the word. I think that's implied there. But there are times when the word doesn't specifically address what it is I'm asking. "Lord, should I make this purchase? Should I plan this trip? Should I do this or that?" You don't say that in your word specifically. Will God answer our questions? He says he will give us wisdom. If you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and he will give it generously. There's so many passages in the Bible that say that we are to stay in tune with the Lord. We're to constantly look to him because we cannot trust our own understanding. We've got to have his understanding guiding us at all times. I know you're familiar with the Appalachian Trail. It goes through our area, not too many miles from here. It covers almost 2,200 miles from Springer Mountain, Georgia, all the way to Mount Katahdin in Maine. And there's always a lot of people that make that journey or try to make that journey every year. Is it possible to get lost along that trail? Absolutely. It happens all the time. But to help you not get lost, there are plenty of resources available. There is the official Appalachian Trail guide that you can purchase. There's all kinds of apps that you can put on a smartphone whenever you have a signal to get what you need. And Scott Chisholm over here, he can give you all the advice you need. He's made that journey himself in one trek, which I think is just awesome. But you see, there's help available. You don't have to get lost. It is there. John 14 and verse 6. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." That's Jesus talking there. And so if we're really serious about making it through this life successfully, reaching that desired destination, the help is there, the resources are there. But fundamentally, we have to trust in the Lord with all our heart and not lean on our own understanding. My understanding is not good enough. And pardon me, I don't mean it personally, but your understanding is not good enough either. We depend on the Lord. Are you depending on the Lord? Are you a child of God? You need to obey the gospel. If you believe that Jesus is God's Son, ready to turn your life over to Him by repenting of your sins, confessing Him before this group, and tonight being baptized into Christ, let's do it. Let's do it tonight. And if you've made that decision, be faithful all the way. And when we realize we've left the path, we've not trusted in the Lord like we should have, then repent of that sin. Pray for forgiveness. And God has promised He'll forgive. Can we help you in any way? Come as we stand and sing.
Prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. We'll sing number 350. Number 350.
Thank you.
Just a few remarks before the Lord's Supper. While at Fried Hardeman last week, I heard a couple of presentations by a man that knows a great deal about the English Bible. He had given a large collection of Middle Age Bibles in English to the university, which is a very valuable collection. And something said in one of his remarks, I think it was on Wednesday, I thought, well, I think I'll try to use that as far as some remarks tonight. He was talking about William Tyndale as the father of the English Bible. Some of you have probably maybe have studied something about how we got our English Bible. I guess the one thing I guess to think about, can you imagine not having the Bible in English? Maybe this guy could read the Greek, fine, okay. Who else could read the Greek? Maybe a few others know bits and pieces, but certainly at the time of William Tyndale in 1495 till his death in 1536, the Bible was not in English until, of course, he did the first translation of the Bible from Greek in 1526. And what was going on at that time was Catholic Church extremely strong in England. Germany had a Bible in German. The French had a Bible in French, no Bible in English. And every time there was an attempt to print the Bible, it was destroyed. And I think, if I'm understanding what he said, there are three copies of William Tyndale's Bible are still in print. Something, though, he brought out, though, I thought was extremely interesting. Some of you, read the King James Version. About 80 to 90% of the King James Version New Testament comes from William Tyndale. It's very much the very same thing. So, very remarkable man. He also tried to translate the Old Testament, but he was burned at the stake, I think, in Belgium in 1536, so wasn't able to finish that. But the speaker brought out some things, just some words, words like give up the ghost, words like fight the good fight of faith. I think it's in 1 Timothy 6:12. I am the good shepherd. Again, John 10, verse 11. These are thoughts, these are words, actually, by William Tyndale. Blessed are the poor in spirit, Matthew 5:3. And then he mentioned this one, fruit of the vine, Mark 14:25. But at least that's some thoughts about this. And I think, again, we're grateful, of course, that others followed, and certainly some changes were made as time passed that allows for the Bible to be printed. And we have it today. Bow with me now. Father, we're deeply grateful for your word. We're grateful, Father, for the institution of the Lord's Supper, and Jesus in the upper room with his disciples celebrating the Passover and instituting the Lord's Supper. We're thankful, Father, for this bread that represents the body of Jesus. Be with those that need to partake of it this time. In Jesus' name, amen. I didn't ask if anybody needs to partake of it. If anybody, raise your hand if you need it, and somebody could make sure we get it to you. If there's no one, I'll go ahead. I like to normally take more time, and I'm unsure if anybody needs it, but let's go ahead. Father, thank you for Jesus coming to this earth and living a life without sin, experiencing the scourging that tore his body all apart. But we're aware, of course, no broken bones, but still a body, a back, and probably sides and legs and everything else just torn all to pieces. Certainly mindful, certainly of the mockery that followed that with the crown of thorns and the mockery by the soldiers, and later then taking the top part of the cross and trying to carry it a short distance before someone helped him. But help us, Father, as we take of the fruit of the vine to remember then certainly the loss of blood that Jesus experienced at that time. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, again, we're grateful that we can return a portion of what has been given to us to thee. Many are retired, but certainly many others are still working and contributing monies as we all try to make contributions in various ways. And we're grateful, Father, for the efforts of the congregation here to teach in a variety of ways, certainly in our prison ministry and jails among the men and women and for those who participate in that. And grateful, Father, for World Bible School and efforts there to teach others in various places, locally as well as in other parts of the world. And grateful, Father, for other good works that we engage in. And certainly thankful, Father, that we are blessed that we have the funds then to put into the pantry and provide food for those that have needs. But to bless us, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Any announcements, be thinking of those. I'll ask for them in a moment. But let's do close with a word of prayer as we head out this evening. Dear Lord, we just thank you for a great day to be in your presence. In your presence as a body of worshipers, as a body of this church members who gather so fervently and often to learn from your word and to take lessons and apply it in our lives. Dear Lord, we know so much good work that happens in this church, and because of that, so many good effects are seen far and wide and felt most closely deep in our hearts. May we take all of the things that happen and find a way to share it with others, find a way to spread that gospel just that it has been shared and spread with us as just 500 years ago, it was translated into English for all of us to hear. May we be open and receptive to your word and always faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't have any new announcements since this morning other than a set of keys were found. It's on a carabiner. If you want to see me after service to claim that, describe some of the keys, we're going to move it to lost and found. Are there any other announcements to be made? All right. Yes. Does anyone know the answer to that fifth potluck Sunday coming up?
No.
All right. Thank you so much for that question. All right, we're dismissed.